us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our humble cry,
and he will answer by and by.
Hear the prayer will turn in.
Feel the fire.
Feel the fire burning.
Have a little talk.
Have a little talk with Jesus. Makes it right. All right.
Come. Woo. Come on, can you clap your hands right here? We want to remind you that you can have a talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles. Hallelujah. Everybody clap your hand. Come on, we'll give you a little quartet style right here.
Oh.
Come on, let's sing it, ladies. Have a little talk.
Have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. Hear our humble cry, and he'll answer by and by. Hear the prayer will turn in. Feel the fire burning. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. All right. Ah, ooh. Ooh. Ah, ooh. Ah, ooh.
Have a little talk with Jesus.
Have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. Hear our humble cry, and he'll answer by and
whatever
by.
You're going, whatever you're going through. I'm a witness.
He'll see you through.
Just
a little talk with Jesus makes it right. All right.
I can talk to the preacher.
But the preacher can't save.
Can't talk to the doctor.
I can talk to the doctor.
But the doctor can't
but
heal me.
But the doctor can't heal.
I can talk to the lawyer.
I can talk to the lawyer.
But the lawyer can't see me.
But the lawyer can't see me through.
I can talk to my friend.
But they're all having problems.
But they all have problems too.
Have a little talk with Jesus.
A little
talk with Jesus. Have a little talk with Jesus.
A little talk
with Jesus. Have a little talk with Jesus.
A little
talk with Jesus. Have a little talk with Jesus.
A little talk with Jesus. Have a little talk.
Have a little talk with Jesus.
A little talk with Jesus.
Have a little talk with Jesus.
Here we go.
A little talk with Jesus.
He won't tell nobody.
He won't tell nobody. He won't tell nobody. He won't tell.
Just a little talk.
Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. All right.
Hallelujah. 1, 2, 3.
He won't tell nobody. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
All right. Hallelujah. Amen. The book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 4. Once again, I encourage you, my brother and sister, to share this worship with everyone that you know. And also, if you will let us know where you are worshiping with us from, it blesses me so much to see all of the various places that you are joining us in worship from, all of the different states,
places that I have heard of before, places that I have never heard of before. But I thank you. So if you just let me know right there in the comments where you are joining us in worship from, I'd be so grateful and appreciative. Lewis Chapel, we have people joining us in worship from all kinds of places. God's word continue to reach and bless, and for that we are so thankful, because whether you are joining us in worship by way of broadcast or by radio, we want you to know that you are God's child, and at Lewis Chapel Missionary Baptist Church, one church in three locations, you belong here. Joshua chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, reading to verse 7. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Translation. Joshua chapter 4. And last week, we were at the culminating verses of Joshua chapter 3. Now we'll reach back. We'll go forward a little bit into Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through verse 7. Verses 1 through verse 7, according to the New Revised Standard Translation. Have you found it? Is there a word there? Y'all say it like you don't believe it. Now, have you found it? Is there a word there? All right, I'm like, always a word. I was like, come on, I know you've been out of practice of being in worship. We're gonna knock the rust off. We're gonna knock the rust off. Matter of fact, let's try one more time. Have you found it? Is there a word there? There is always, to God be the glory, he always has a word for our life. Holy Ghost, give me preaching power. This is what it says, starting at verse 1 of Joshua chapter 4. It says, when the entire nation had finished crossing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, select 12 men from the people, one from each tribe, and command them to take 12 stones from here out of the middle of Jordan from the place where the priest's feet stood. Carry them over with you and lay them down in the place where you camp tonight. Then Joshua summoned the 12 men from the Israelites whom he had appointed, one from each tribe. Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder, one for each of the tribes of the Israelites, so that you may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come. I can't wait to get here. What do these stones mean to you? Verse 7, then you shall tell them that the waters of Jordan were cut off in front of the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the Israelites a memorial forever. Today I want to preach using this subject of thought in our minds. Fix me a to-go plate. Fix me a to-go plate. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Fix me a to-go plate. Now listen, if you are not privy to our culture, in at least let me speak specifically to how we roll in the South, particularly in the African American community. I can speak for, because that is the community that I engage in and am involved in and am a part of. As we come out of this pandemic, let me remind you that oftentimes when we have had a gathering, in the process of that gathering, there's going to be some food in there somewhere. I thought I had a witness. And more often than not, this will not be light hors d'oeuvres. This will be, we're going to be eating, y'all. And if your experiences have been anything like mine, you might ask somebody, you bring the plates and you bring the plasticware, you bring the desserts, you bring the you bring the drinks, you bring some things to cook, just contribute in some way. But there's always that person, y'all, that shows up to the gathering, have not contributed a thing. But as the evening is waning and as time is winding down and people begin to make their exits, they will come with this request: fix me a to-go plate. Now, when you hear to-go plate, my brother and sister, you may be thinking this right here. This is what we know as a to-go plate. You open it up. It has compartments. And if your people are anything like my people, if your folk anything like my folk, they will hover over your shoulder, making sure that you fill it to the brim. Juices and gravy running out the side. Because they got to make sure that to-go plate is going to be right, y'all. But many of us don't have a to-go plate that looks anything like that. Ours is just a plate. And they asked for some aluminum foil. And they make sure still, that it's running over, and they close it. Wrap it up good. And once again, if your experience has been anything like mine, they are generally taking so much as they go, they have to put it in some kind of grocery bag. Carry it all out. Because before I leave, I don't want to leave empty-handed. I'm preaching already. You just don't know it. I don't want to leave empty-handed. It's been too good. So before I go and before I make my exit, I know I'm going to want to eat some of this all over again later. So before I go, I got a request. Whether I deserve it or not, fix me a to-go plate. Y'all, this is where we find ourselves, and I know y'all like, this is where we find ourselves in Joshua chapter 4. They have just, when I say they, let me be more specific, the children of God, the Israelites, have traveled through the wilderness for some 40 years. And Reverend, in the process of traveling through the wilderness for some 40 years, they finally reached a point where they are ready to cross over into the promised land. And as they get ready to cross over to the promised land, Moses has ascended to heaven and he's gone. They have a new leader by the name of Joshua. That's why this book is called Joshua, because Joshua is giving this account of how God moved, even in the absence of their former leader, Moses. But here's the dilemma, y'all. Before they can cross over into the promised land, there is a large body of water, moving water, called the Jordan River. Somebody say Jordan River. Yeah, see, y'all got to get used to being in the sanctuary again. I got to get used to y'all being in the sanctuary again. Somebody type Jordan River. Now, the Jordan River is a large body of water with currents and with streams. And before they can get to the promised land on the other side of Jordan, here it is. They're on one side. Promised land is on the other. And God shows up just like he did at the Red Sea to show you that if there is a body of water that stands between you and my promise, watch how God has the ability to make a way. In verse 1, now that I've given some context, can I begin to do a little exegesis here? In verse 1, my brother and sister, we find out that as they have been blessed, as the children of God have been blessed to cross over the Jordan River, because God has given them instructions. Say, take the Ark of the Covenant, go down to the water, step in the water. And when you step in the water, God said, I'll begin to cut the waters off and you'll walk over on dry ground. They took the Ark of the Covenant. The Levites, the priests, took the Ark of the Covenant, walked down into the water. The water stopped, and the children of God walked across. And verse 1 says that all of them made it across. Let me begin to do a little work right there. It says all of them made it across. Now, see, we have gotten so used to reading the Bible that we forget when we read the Bible and they talk about people, these are just regular people, y'all. They are not just the saved, just the sanctified, just the Holy Ghost filled. These are just regular folk. They got regular issues. They got regular hang-ups. They got regular mistakes. They make regular flaws. They doubt God just like we doubt God. They forget to pray just like we forget to pray. They're not sure if God is still going to show up sometime. And yet God brought them all through. Here's something that we really got to keep in mind here, that part of the hang-up with the Israelites is that they were scared to go into the promised land. And this same thing plays out. It is time for them to go over into the promised land. And you know, as sure as heaven is happy, some people were content to stay on the other side. They say, listen, we've gotten used to it over on this side. We know what we're going to deal with over on this side. It is a warning to all of us to not settle for where we are and live beneath our purpose. Holy Ghost, let me preach right here. There are some of us, y'all, that have gotten used to where we are. Therefore, we've gotten used to living beneath our purpose. Their purpose is not to stay over there. Their purpose is not to stay where they are. Their purpose is to go to the other side. But you know, it was some people that were saying, let's just stay over here because we know what it's like over here. We know what we got to deal with over here. We know what the people are like over here. And if we go over there, we're going to have new issues and new problems and new devils that we got to deal with. They started to say, if we go over there, new levels, new devils. Over here, we know what our victories are. Over here, we battle the Amalekites and won. Over here, we battle the Canaanites and won. Over here, we battle the Amorites and won. Over here, we battle the Midianites and won. Why do you want to go to a new place when you know what you got to deal with over here already? Some of us have been dealing with that same construct in our mind. We know that God has called us to something greater, but we got a TLC testimony. Don't go chasing waterfalls. Please stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to. But here's the reality that all of us got to deal with and got to wrestle with. If God said go to the other side, even if you're scared, even if you're hesitant, even if you don't know what you got to deal with on the other side, I got to be brave enough and have enough courage to go to the other side. Because even if it is new trials over there, even if it is new problems where my purpose is, even if it is new struggles over there, I still got the same God. And if God was good enough to bring me through on this side of my purpose, he's able to bring me through on that side of my purpose. Let me keep moving. In verse 1, if you read from the King James translation, I know I read it in New Revised Standard, but remember, preachers, I told you, always read the scripture as you're preparing in several translations. King James said, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over. Now, you may recall, those of you who worshiped with us last week, in Joshua chapter 3, verse 17, the last verse of that chapter, it said, and when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on the ground in the midst of the Jordan, and the Israelites passed over dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. In the last verse, it talked about they passed over clean. In the first verse, it talked about they passed over clean. I was thinking to myself, how dirty were you that it had to mention you got clean twice? Y'all ain't walking with me. How dirty was I that in two back-to-back verses, God had to make mention of how clean he had to make me? The Holy Ghost, help me preach right along in here. If you had to mention I was clean twice, I must have shown up being dirty. Which gives us a glory moment right here, because it shows us that God will take us even if he has to take us dirty. Okay. What kind of God would take a dirty thing? Y'all don't take nothing dirty. If Amazon ships you something and you open up the box and it's dirty, you're sending it back. Okay, y'all ain't walking with me. If Walmart.com sends you something dirty and you open it up and see it's dirty, you're sending it back. If you order something from Wayfair.com and it comes dirty, you're not going to take something dirty. You're sending it back. What kind of God takes dirty things? God takes dirty things. God takes dirty lives. God takes dirty souls. God takes dirty situations. God takes dirty circumstances. God takes dirty lifestyles. And there ought to, all of us ought to be glad that we serve a God that takes dirty things. I knew y'all were going to be cute at all with me. I'm going to say that one more time. None of us like to take dirty stuff. And yet God does. Wait a minute here. God takes dirty lives. God takes dirty souls. God takes dirty situations. God takes dirty circumstances. God takes dirty lifestyles and makes them something better. What kind of God takes dirty things? I'm going to say that one more time. Y'all still acting like when the Lord saved your soul, you didn't have any dirt. What kind of God takes dirty lives? What kind of God takes dirty souls? What kind of God takes dirty situations? What kind of God takes dirty circumstances? What kind of God takes dirty lifestyles? It shows us that God loves us through our messes. And God loves us in spite of our messes. There's a show I watch every now and then. I haven't watched it in a while. It comes on the History Channel. There's a man. He goes to junkyards. And when he goes to junkyards, he looks at all of this dirty, rusted out stuff. It's dirty, it's rusted out, it's dented, and he always goes and looks through all of this dirty, dusted, rusted out stuff, and he makes the junkyard owner an offer. The junkyard owner, he offers to buy it from them. They always think he's overpaying. They can never believe that he's offering as much as he's offering for something that's dirty, dusty, and rusted. But he takes that dirty, dusty, and rusted thing. He takes it back to his shop. And he begins to work on it and clean off the dirt. And clean off the dust. And clean off the rust. See, what the junkyard owner still has not come to understand is the reason he takes and buys something that's dirty. Something that's dusty. Something that's rusted. Is because he knows his value without the dirt. He knows his value without the dust. He knows his value without the rust. So that's why, even though it looks like it ain't worth much to other people, he still is willing to pay a whole lot for it. That's the kind of God we serve. When your life has dirt on it, when your life has mess on it, we serve a God that still gave his life for you because he can still see your value, whether you got dirt on your life, whether you got rust on your life, whether you feel down in your life. I believe there's somebody that can say, when I was down, the Lord still saw my value. When I was messed up, the Lord still saw my value. When I was sinking in sin, the Lord still saw my value. The old schoolers say it this way. The Lord looked beyond all my faults. I wish I had a witness here today. Is there anybody that's glad that as messed up as you've been sometimes, God could still see your value? That as bad as you've been sometimes, God could still see your value? That even when you wasn't coming to God's house, he could still see your value. That before your soul was saved, God could still see your value. That's why he brought you through your dangers. That's why he brought you through your unsaved days. That's why he brought you through your dirty days. Because God could look at you and say, when I get my hands on them, I'm going to clean them up. I'm going to turn them around. And I'm going to make them better because I can see their value. God is a restorationist. That's what you call it. When you take something dirty and messed up and begin to clean it up, that's called being a restorationist. Lest you think I'm making it up. Come here, David. Psalm 23 and verse 3. God restores my soul. That means that I had to be restored all over again. If you lost your joy, God is a restorationist. If you lost your peace, God is a restorationist. If you lost your value, God is a restorationist. How dirty were you that it got a mention in back-to-back verses you got cleaned? I must have been dirty, y'all. In verse 4 through 5. In verse 4 through 5. Verse 3, 2, 3, 4, and 5, God gives Joshua instruction. He said, listen, this is what you're going to do. Y'all have crossed over the Jordan River. You listen to the instructions. I said, take the Levites, the priests, have them walk into the water. When they walk into the water, the waters will part. Walk into the water, have them stand in the midst of it. Have all the people cross over. And when they get to the other side, God gives more instructions. He says, wait, before you keep going, go back in. Get rocks, get stones, and bring them out and bring them to your camp. Let me see if I can help us here. Many of us think that our breakthrough and our miracle is going to come through our praise and our worship. That's why we believe when praises go up, blessings come down. But this scripture shows us that often the difference between your breakthrough and your miracle is not just in how much you praise, but in how well you follow instructions. Uh-oh. We want the breakthrough. And we want the miracle, but we want to do it because we have shouted and because we have spoken in tongues. But this breakthrough and miracle is not about how loud you shout, how fast you run, or how well you speak in tongues, but how well you can follow instructions. I like to put things together, y'all. And I've noticed in putting things together, I put this together right here. My wife knows if something's going to get put together that I'll handle that. And sometimes I put things together so much, I don't even take time to look at the instructions. I just start putting it together. But what I have discovered is, when I don't follow the instructions, because Savannah will ask me, did you read the instructions before you put it together? And did you read the instructions while you were putting it together? Because I was putting this together for our baby girls, and she was not going to let me put the baby girls in it until she knew I put it together reading the instructions. Because what we have discovered is when I don't follow the instructions, what I build falls apart. And she said, you're not going to put my babies in anything if you hadn't read the instructions because it's going to fall apart. Can I help you today? Part of why we have been falling apart in our lives is because we're trying to put our life together without reading the instructions of our life. When you put your life together based on the instructions for your life, your life don't fall apart because you've been following God's instructions. I wish I had a witness here today. It is not that you don't have hell to deal with in your life, but the reason you have not fallen apart is because you've been reading God's word, and God's word has given you instructions. It is not that you don't have struggles. You deal with some of the same stuff your neighbors deal with. You deal with some of the same stuff your family members deal with. And it made them fall apart, and they still haven't gotten it together yet. And yet you still standing and you're still strong is because you've been reading your instructions. And every time life tries to tear you apart, you grab your instructions. And every time you feel yourself getting pressed down, you grab your instructions. And is there anybody that can say, I wouldn't be standing if it wasn't for me reading God's instructions? We got to learn how to read God's instructions. Here's the other thing. After I put it together, Savannah will peruse it, and she'll ask me, do you have any missing pieces? Because y'all know how it is, y'all. Sometimes you put something together, and if you didn't follow the instructions, you have some extra screws left. If you didn't follow the instructions, you might look, and there are still some screws that are loose. If you don't follow God's word, it's no surprise we're walking around with some screws loose. If I don't follow God's word, no wonder I've lost my mind, because the only thing that can keep me is the word of the Lord. Some of y'all, we know people, they got screws loose. They've lost their mind. They've lost their joy. They've lost their hope. They've lost their direction. They've lost their way because they're trying to go through life with no instruction. When you don't follow the instructions, you walk around with some screws loose. But when you follow God's instructions, He has a way of bringing you through. Okay, all right. If you want to build your life on a strong foundation, the Bible has instructions for that. If you want to find hope in the middle of trouble, the Bible has instructions for that. If you want to find peace in your life, the Bible has instructions for that. If you want to find calm in the middle of a storm, the Bible has instructions for that. If you want to find your value absent of the stuff you put on you, the Bible has instructions for that. Unless you find yourself trying to put it together with some screws loose. Okay. Verse 5 tells us that because they're following instructions and directions, they go back into the Jordan River. Lord, you brought us through it. Now I get on the other side of Jordan, into the promised land. And you tell me to go back into the river, back into Jordan, while the priests are still standing there, and pick up stones. And verse 5 says that the stones are so big, they have to carry them on their shoulder. Okay. Y'all ain't walk with me. He didn't say, Deacon Norman, you walk with me here. He didn't say just go back in and pick up a rock or a pebble. He said go back into the Jordan River and pick up a stone that is so heavy you have to carry it on your shoulder. We can look at this two different ways, y'all. We can look at this at how heavy it is what God asked him to carry. Because if I got to carry a stone so big, I got to carry it on my shoulder. That's heavy, y'all. And I can get focused on, Lord, why would you ask me to carry something heavy? Why would you ask me to carry a heavy load or a heavy burden so much I got to carry it on my shoulder? We can get so focused on how heavy it is, or we can look at it the other way. How strong I am in order to carry it. Okay. I was watching on ESPN in the middle of us having no sports. And brothers, you know how it was. We got desperate. We started watching anything they put on ESPN. When it was no basketball, no football, no whatever. Anything they put on, brother, sometimes we just sit and watch. It was a weightlifting competition. And it was time for them to try to lift some world record weight. And I remember all of the weight on one side of the barbell, weight bell, whatever it is. All the weight on one side, all the weight on the other side. And they did this whole story about the man who was going to try to break the world record and gave his background and his history. And here it was, the moment where he went to try to lift all of this weight. And he went down and he put that chalk on his hands and went and got a good grip. And after getting himself ready, picked it up and put it back down. And everybody was clapping and cheering and celebrating and happy. And I have no idea. I can't remember how much weight he picked up. I can't remember what the weight and how heavy it was, because nobody was talking about the weight. They were talking about how strong he had to be in order to pick it up. The reason God would give you something heavy is not because the conversation is going to be about how heavy it was, but because the conversation will be when people see you with it, how strong you had to be in order to carry it. I know. Life will be easier if you didn't have to carry it. Life will be smoother if you didn't have to carry it. But there is somebody that saw you pick it up. There's somebody that saw you carrying it on your shoulder. And they ain't talking about how heavy it was. They're talking about how strong you are. Okay. There's somebody that watched you get a cancer diagnosis. There's somebody that know that you had to go in chemotherapy and out of chemotherapy. And their conversation is not about how bad the cancer was. Their conversation is about how strong God bless you to be. There's somebody that knows you have a sick spouse. And you're dealing with your sick spouse every day. They know you got to keep up with their medication schedule. They know you have to help them to the bathroom and out of the bathroom. And they are looking at you, not looking at just how heavy it is, but looking at how strong God is blessing you to be. I'm trying to help somebody today, because your focus has been on how heavy it is. But the shout is not on how heavy it's been. The shout is how strong God has blessed you to be. Because when they see you with the weight on your shoulder every day, they're saying there must be a God somewhere. If they're strong enough to carry that, if they're strong enough to hold that, if they're strong enough to go through that, I want to know the same God that's been blessing them. I want to know the same God that's been keeping them. So the thing you've been ready to put down is the same thing that's been blessing somebody else. It's heavy, but you're carrying it. It's hard, but you're carrying it. It seems like it's weighing you down, but God gave you enough strength when you woke up this morning that whatever you got to pick up and whatever you got to carry, we serve a God that's given us the strength, that's giving us the ability, and that's giving us the power to carry it on our shoulder. Hey, my sister, you didn't want to raise your family by yourself, but God is blessing you to carry it. Hey, my brother, you didn't want to have to go through what you're going through, but God is giving you the strength to carry it. Hey, my sister, you wish your situation was different, but God is giving you the strength to carry it. Can I close here? in verse 6 and 7, it says, when you pick it up and carry it on your shoulder, when you come out of the Jordan River, sit it down in your camp, and the children will begin to ask you, in days to come, why do we have to have that big stone everywhere we go? Why do we have to have this big rock everywhere we go? You tell them, it's a reminder of where the Lord has brought us from. You tell them it's a reminder of the ways the Lord has made. You tell them it's a reminder of the miracles that we've seen God do. I believe y'all. I can only speak out of my context. I can only speak out of my culture. I can only speak out of what I know. But I believe that's why we got to remember where the Lord has brought us from. I hear somebody saying, what has the Lord brought us from? At least one of your ancestors. At least one of your ancestors survived being in the bottom of a disease-riddled ship during the Middle Passage. Robbed of their language. Robbed of their traditions. Stripped of their culture. Given no last names. They had to learn the English language while being refused the ability to read. They had to work ruthlessly from sun up to sundown. They had to watch their babies be sold away from them and their wives and husbands be sold away from them. They had to brave the Underground Railroad. They won their freedom by fighting in the Civil War. They had to battle sharecropping, Jim Crow, and the 13th Amendment. We had to overcome KKK burning crosses in our yards, bombing our churches, our men swinging from trees because they were lynched, our women being raped. We had to fight in wars overseas just to come home and be called boys here. We were segregated in the South, ghettoed in the North. We were ignored in history books, stereotyped in news and media. Yet through it all, I wish I had a witness in here. Yet through it all, our ancestors survived all of that, thrived in all of that, so that you could be here. And when you remember what God has brought us through, being rejected don't hit the same. Facing obstacles doesn't hit us the same. Facing setbacks doesn't hit us the same, because you understand where the Lord has brought us from. And I know if the Lord can bring us through all of that, that's why God said, when I bring you through, don't get brand new. When I bring you through, don't act like you didn't used to be back there, but go back, get you a to-go plate, so that when this day is over, you'll be able to open it up and feast on the goodness of the Lord. Is there anybody that can say, I got a to-go plate? Because when I think of the goodness of the Lord and all he's brought us through, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I've been feasting on the goodness of the Lord. I thank God for everything he's brought us through. I thank God for every miracle he's made. I thank God for every breakthrough he's done. I thank God for every healing he's brought, because God has brought us a mighty long way. How do you know, Stackhouse? How do you know, Stackhouse? Because the God I serve has been mighty, 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 mighty good to me, because the Lord will be a bridge over troubled water, and the Lord will make a way out of no way, and the Lord has blessed us over and over, over and over. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
So the next time you begin to get down in your spirit, you ought to remember what the Lord has brought you through. Open up your to-go plate and feast on the Lord's goodness from yesterday. Open up your to-go plate and feast on God's goodness from last week. Open up your to-go plate and remember how God has done exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can think or ask. Somebody say yeah. Yeah. There's power in knowing your history. Because when you know your history, you know what God has brought you through. And when you know what God has brought you through, you can feast on his goodness. Don't forget where God has brought you from. When the Lord brings you through, take those memories. It's good sustenance. Take that with you. And when you remember all that God has already done. Oh, you talk about me on Facebook. But so what? Do you know how much we've gone through before? Oh, they don't like me at my job. So, when you understand, that's why I said go back and get a rock. Because you're going to forget about this day. You're going to move on. You're going to forget about this day. You're going to get fancy and brand new. But when you remember what God had to bring you through, fix it to go plate so you can feast on it later. Fix it to go plate so that when the devil comes against you, you open up that to go plate and say, nah, I'm still feasting on the goodness of the Lord from what he's already done. Somebody's depressed right now because you've been rejected. We've overcome rejection before. When you know what God has brought you from, listen, y'all, I want you to take a moment in your own mind right now. Stop fixing your to-go plate. Stop fixing your, just think about what he's already done. Fix your own to-go plate. You don't need a plate. You don't need an aluminum foil. All you need is just think of the goodness of the Lord. How he brought you through. How many miracles, how many ways made, how many times you thought, man, it's, I don't know how I'm going to get through this, and God found a way. That's my spiritual to-go plate. I feast on it. I enjoy it. And here's the good news. It never runs out. It never runs out. It's like a well that never runs dry. My brother and sister, the door of the church is open. The door of the church is open. Fix me to go play. The door of the church is open. The door of the church is open. The door of the church is open. And we speak life. We speak life to you today. We speak life to you today. If you are not saved, if you are not saved, if you are not saved, if you have not accepted the love of Jesus Christ into your life, listen, I pray, my sister, I pray, my brother, if you are not saved, if you're watching this live, if you're watching this sometime later, that you take your soul serious enough right here in this moment. You take your soul serious enough right here in this moment. That you say, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to be saved. I don't want my soul to be anywhere but in the hands of the Lord. And if you're ready to make your mind up of that, if you're ready to make that decision, then we thank God. God knows we do. You just make your mind up wherever you are, whether you're in this favorable area, whether you're not in this favorable area, it does not matter because Jesus is everywhere and he's ready to save your soul. All we ask that you do is that you go to lewischapel.org, lewischapel.org.
And at the top of the page, there's a place where it says become a member. Just click on that place where it says become a member. And in that place, there are four options. The first option, after you give us your information, is to give your life to Christ. And the reason we want you to give us your information so that we can call you, so that we might fully explain the joy of God's salvation. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're not trying to talk you anything. But as you start your walk with Jesus, you need somebody there that can help you answer some questions, give you some navigation, and explain to you what it is to truly trust in Jesus and have your soul be saved. That's all we want to do. So if you just go to lewischapel.org, give us the opportunity to help you on your journey. That's all we want to do, to help you on your journey. And if you're already saved, but you are without a church home, if you want to be a part of Lewis Chapel, whether you are in this Fayetteville area or whether you're not in this Fayetteville area, you can connect with us and continue to grow with God. So if you're not saved, come on and give your life to Christ. If you are saved, and this is the ministry where God is directing you, that you might continue to grow in your knowledge of Him, then we welcome you, my brother. We welcome you, my sister. But whatever you do, don't let this moment pass you by. We're going to sing. Somebody's making their mind up. You ought to come.
We speak life into your destiny. We pray peace
upon your family.
We know there's power in what we say. So we speak life, no matter what comes our way. We speak life, yeah. We speak life.
We speak it over you.
We speak life, yeah.